continue along the lines we began last week. And one of the things which we stressed last week was, of course, that the Megillah doesn't bear the Shem Hashem at all. And the reason why this is so is, of course, in order to demonstrate to us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is even present within nature itself, and that one shouldn't think that when there is no apparent revelation of God's strength and God's divine manipulation in a revealed manner, that it's not happening behind the scenes. And the first page here on top is a photograph from Reb Gedalia Shor's Sefer, the Or Gedalia. At the end of the second paragraph, he says, since this is in essence the Megillah, this is what the Megillah is all about, that we should recognize that everything comes about as a result of a HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. V'zeh, three lines before the end of the paragraph, V'zeh nizgalu hem ha'idei ha'nes to the Megillah, and this is revealed to them through the miracle of the Megillah. V'akorazu tzricha lios b'chol Yehudi, this recognition has to be in every Jew be'ez kriyas ha'Megillah when you read the Megillah. L'hakir, to recognize ha'vahoya la'Hashem la'Shem, what causes Hashem to have a name in this world, not just where there's a divine revelation of God, not just when there's a divine revelation of God, but rather as well when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears within nature itself. And this is something which, you know, a person could go through the entire Megillah without much kavana, just paying attention, like laning on Shabbos. But the idea is that a person should really be aroused to focus on how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is apparent in the nature itself. And part of this is the interesting Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara Chulin Daf Lakuf Lamed goes to where we find Mordechai, Haman, and Esther in the Torah. Mordechai, we know, is found in the Torah in the Parsha of Ketores, where it says the words Mor Dror, and the Targum there says that Mor Dror in Aramaic is Mora Dachya. So we say that Mordechai is Besamim. Mordechai is the Ketores, and we know that just as the Ketores connects, but the symbolism of the Ketores in the Beis HaMikdash, the incense, was that the incense connects heaven and earth. It's smoke that rises in a straight line from the earth to heaven. So that's, we know that one of the families of Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash had this particular knack of being able to make the Torahs in a specific way that it would go directly up to heaven. And the concept was that this is a direct connection. That's why the Ketores was in the middle, in the Kodesh Kodashim, right? The menorah was on the right. The Shulchan was on the left. That means Ruchni is on the right. Gashmi is on the left. Together they merge in the Ketores, the Mizbech HaKetores, which is connecting heaven and earth together. So Mordechai represents that power because he brought Am Yisrael back to Kodesh Baruch Hu in that generation. Haman, we learn out where it's Haman in the Torah. In Parshas Bereishis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to Adam and says to Haman, Hamina eitz asher tzivisicha lebilti echo mimenu achalta. Did you eat from the tree which I told you not to eat from? The word Hamin is the same letters as Haman. Now, what's the Gemara telling us with this? You don't see that? Hamin. Hey, mem, nun.
No, I see that.
Haman. What is the Gemara telling us with this? The Gemara is telling us with two things. A, that Haman is connected to Eitz Hadas Tov Ra. That's the tree, right? We'll come back to that later on. B, Hamino Eitz, this amazing thing. God is asking Adam whether he ate from the tree or not. God doesn't know. So this is the first point where somebody who wants to make a mistake and say, God is not all-powerful, can make a mistake. You can say, God doesn't know everything that goes on, Chas V'Shalom, or God is not conscious or aware or doesn't want to know about everything which goes on. Oh, if that's the case, so one can rebel against God. And that is the basic philosophy of Amalek. Amalek saw Kriyas Yamsuf and Matamat and Torah and all that, yet nonetheless they felt that's true. At some points God is completely connected to the Jewish people, but at other points he doesn't care. Or he's not even aware. Hamino hates. He asks questions. It shows he's not constantly in control. So that's where Amalek comes from. The power of Amalek comes from that Hamino Eitz, from that question which HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked Adam HaRishon, did you or didn't you? That gave a mistake. And Esther, where is Esther mentioned in the Torah? Esther is mentioned in the Torah in the Pasuk of Vanochi Hasteras Dir Panay Bayomahu. It says in Tochacha, I believe it's in Dvarim, Rosh Baruch Hu says, I think it's about the Nitzavim, although I'm not sure offhand, because Baruch Hu says to Am Yisrael, concerning Am Yisrael, I will conceal myself from them on that day, on the day in which I inflict punishment on them. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to conceal myself. Also, the nace of Purim was a nace of Esther. Can I ask you to close the door? So, disturbing. So to the nace of Esther was a nace of Anochi Haster Astir. The nace took place in a concealed fashion. But the question is, of course, like this. Why, if the Ramazim of these allusions in the Torah are really so accurate, why was the allusion to Esther was the cause of the Gula in a Parsha in the Torah which talks about the Golus? I'm going to hide myself from Am Yisrael. It's a strange thing. What does it mean? So Rav Gedalia Shor says, that's Gufa, the point of Purim. That's specifically the point of Purim. Purim is the only Nes which we celebrate which took place in Golus, in Chutz Laretz. That's why it's linked to this Parsha. That Jews shouldn't believe that just because they're in Golus, God is not watching over them. And God is not behind whatever happened to them. It brings down here Rav Gedalia in the next paragraph about eight lines from the end, it says, in Mefarish HaRebi, Rabbunim Miparshischa, the Rabbunim Miparshischa said, Ki zeh guva shiomer she'ein elokai bekirbi. It's a pasuk, which he quotes being the line before, it says, V'amar be'amu al-kein elokai bekirbi matzoni arua se'elav anochi aster aster ponai. That's the pasuk where Esther is alluded to in the Torah. So that pasuk means, the Jews will say during that time, at that time, so, you know, I really should give a little bit of introduction here. This is one of the famous kashas in the Torah. It says in this pasuk, "Va'amar bayomahu." The Jews will say, "On that day, kieno lokai bekirbi, because my God is not within me, mitzauni arosa ela, these bad things befell me." Va'anochi astir astir, and God says, "And I'm going to hide myself from them." So everybody asks the question: the entire world, I'm supposed to do in tshuva. They're saying that God is not among me, God is not with me. So how come God at that moment turns away and says, Anochi Aster Aster Panai? On the contrary, that specific moment, God should return to them. They're saying vidui. They're realizing they did something wrong. God should return to them. So everybody asks a question. So the Rabbunim Parshischa answers, Ki zeh guva sheyomer she'en elokai bekirbi nechshav lohem lavon. That which they said that God was not within them in the Golus, that in of itself was an Avera. Ki tzorich ha'adam lahamin, a person that's believed, she'Hashem bekirbi Yisrael, that God is within the nation of Israel, av she'nir lehester, even though it looks like he's not there. U'merukura azut kliya geula. And how do you achieve geula? To see and to believe Banochi Shabatocha Esther in the presence of God, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, even in the Esther, right? It says Anochi Haster Astir. The word Anochi in this pasuk, of course, harks us back to Matan Torah, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, the greatest revelation of God. In the Esther, in the concealment, there is an Anochi, there is the revelation. You just have to see it. There's a famous Chassidus Shemaisa. I forget exactly with which rich Rebbe used to tell it over. But it's brought down in this Purim Chassidim by Rav Zevin that there was once a Mashulach who went around to Chutz Laretz to collect money for Eretz Yisrael way back, 200, 300 years ago. So he said to people he went, a certain city, I guess he gave a drush, he said, in Eretz Yisrael, even the stones are holy. Everything is holy, even the stones shine with brilliance. So one of the Baal Batim was very curious. He wanted to go and see. So he went up to Eretz Yisrael, and he went and he saw that the stones weren't shining. They weren't brilliant. They weren't sparkling. So he found this Mashulach, wherever the Mashulach was, and he said, how come you deluded us? You made us think that Eretz Yisrael is different, that the stones are so brilliant and so bright and so shining and all that kind of stuff. So the Mashulach shrugged his shoulders and said, no, Misha Zocher Roeh. People who merit it, they see it. So the Baal Bas, came back to the Mashulach sometime later and said, you're right. Misha Zochero has somebody who is, those who merit it do see it. It's all a question of perspective. Here too, of course it's hard to see the Yad Hashem. It takes a merit, it takes work. But the important thing is to realize that it is there. The example, which of course we've given here in the past and many people give, is that in our century, you see that this is something I heard in the name of Rabbi Weinberg of Baltimore, although you don't have to be Rabbi Weinberg to see this, is that you see that although we cannot understand the Holocaust at all, of course it's far beyond our comprehension, we do see that immediately after after this incomprehensible event, the state of Israel came into being. So you see that there is the Yad Hashem here. There's no other way to see this extraordinary juxtaposition of events, that the Holocaust occurred and immediately thereafter the state of Israel was founded for a very short time afterwards, unless there's some Yad Hashem which is directing things. Why one should be in a precondition for the other, we don't know. But we see that there cannot be, it's extraordinary Yad Hashem which cannot be denied unless somebody wants to dafka, close their eyes and look the other way. So we see that there are ways in which we can perceive that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present. The thing is, of course, that, okay, fine, we can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu is present, that the nature of the world is only a veil, and that really HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding behind, but why do it this way? Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want it to be this way, that it'll be in a Hester? Before we answer that, want to mention the Maharal. He brings down here the Maharal. The Maharal here in the last paragraph in the second column on this page says Maharal b'akdom al perush or chodesh al Megillah Sester. The Maharal in his introduction to his perush or chodesh al Megillah, Kosi Lavari writes to explain Hodenes Purim haya behester, that which the miracle of Purim was behester was hidden, kibab mi makom gavoa v'nister, because the source of the Nes of Purim was from one of the highest and most hidden concealed places. It came from Shabbat Mokom Nistor, since it came from such a hidden place, Hoya Nes Benistor Gamkin. The miracle itself was also hidden. Why? V'akavona b'zeh, or rather, what does this mean? V'akavona b'zeh yishashor shanes hayom imokom gavoh kolkach. The source of the miracle was from such a divine and high place, shelo hayo b'yicholto lizgalos b'om b'zeh, could not have been revealed explicitly in this world. The revelation had to be in concealment. And therefore we find the entire Nes in the Megillah was done with haste and quickness. The whole Nes in the Megillah took place in days, literally. Right? The whole episode, the whole portion of the Megillah, literally, from the beginning of Haman's decree until the time it was uprooted, a week. Basically, over Pesach. That's what it took. They had to push the miracle into this world. It's a very interesting thing. It says, first of all, the miracle has to be pushed into this world. What does that mean? So let's turn the page for a minute. So that has to be done with reasons. Now, let's do a Rav Huttner here. I know it's getting off the track, but we'll come back afterwards. Let's turn, and of course it's in Yiddish, but I'll translate as we go along. On the on page 2, on the right on the left hand side, in Hey, Chaburus von Purim Spieler, Chaburus of Purim players, Flegen Aroim game. They used to go around in Yiddish or Hazer. My Yiddish is not that good, but I think I can translate most of this. In Yiddish Hazer in Jewish houses, in Ein Ort, in one place is given a company. There was a company of Purim Spielers of Purim players. Was Flegen Aroim kommen in Stug, which used to come around into the houses. Und singen al Lidl, they used to sing a song. Was flexich anfangen mit die Werte, which used to begin with the words, heint is Purim, today is Purim, morgen is ice, tomorrow it's out, it's gone. Get mir da trunk, give me the drink, und warf mir rice and kick me out. In dev, a good song, right? In dev art is given a gadol. In this city, there was a gadol. Was hat makmit given, who was upset. Und gesagt, as befonav, and he said that in front of him, Zomen does little nish singing. He doesn't want the song to be sung. So you would think this Togoto was a teetotaler, right? He didn't want to have it sung because he didn't want to give them the drink. No, that's not the reason why. Their hezber fun them, the pshan in this, why this Togoto was upset about this, is azoivi as retzich in Sefer Pachat Yitzchak. It's like we spoke about Sefer Vudner in Sefer Pachat Yitzchak, Shar Chodesh Ovim Mamar Aleph. As is dot zvebechinus and midas as rizus. There are two levels in the attribute of zrizus of haste in the good sense, of course. Zrizus betam hatachton, zrizus in the lower taste, in the lower level, und Zrizus betam Elion and Zrizus on a higher level. Zrizus betam Tachton, the haste on a lower level is their taich means to turn their zach vashneller, to do the thing as quickly as possible. Right? That's a maila. To do things quickly shows an interest. Zrizus betam Elion, Zrizus on a higher level is their taich, is pshat, azoivi chazal zogin like chazal say. Moshe lekafi shenosa bas melech. It's analogous to a farmer who married a princess. Afilim hevi lo kom adoni olam, even if he brings her all the delicacies of the world, enam kedaila. It's not good enough for her. Mivnei she bas melech, because she's a princess. Thus is a moshe, this is a parable, of the chasna about the marriage, concerning the marriage, tzvishin neshama un guf, between the neshama and the body, the soul and the body. Retzich Tordin Pachad Yitzuk Shar Chodesh Aviv, we spoke about there in the Pachad Yitzuk, as the Etzem Etzius HaBazman L'Gabi Di Neshama, the very existence of time vis-a-vis Neshama, is Doch Oich Nichlal Madoni Olam, is also included in delicacies of the world. Un Ven Ir Koyach Hoibt Onto Leichtin, and when the power of the Neshama begins to give light, gefinzich in mention a bittle, then people have a derogatory or denigrating attitude, a mius, a revulsion in the etzem etzius funzman, in the very existence of time. In other words, a neshama is eternal. It transcends time. The very nature of time is something which the neshama finds to be shackled by time. The neshama finds to be something which is revulsion. It causes it revulsion, causes it to be disgusting. It wants to be free of this concept of time. Und densmal, at that time, kommt die Mida von Zrizus betam Elion. Comes the time, the taste of Zrizus in its higher form. Was it der Teich, which means, is the Rotzon zu eliminieren Zman, the desire to eliminate time. Purim is der Zman von Gili von Netzach Yisrael. Purim is the time when we have a revelation of the eternal nature of Am Yisrael. In other words, that we transcend time. All our enemies and all travails will not be able to vanquish us. No Haman will be able to overcome us because we transcend time. We're not bound by worldly events which occur in time. Am Yisrael is eternal. Am Yisrael is Netzach Yisrael. On Netzach is Nitoke Netzach Yisrael. Without Netzach, there is no Netzach Yisrael. In other words, I'm sorry, skipped. No, I didn't. Okay. Is Purim der Guf, Oich Maskim zu Neshama. And Purim, the body must also concede to the Neshama. As the Metzius Hazman Hot Nishken Kitfis Hasmokom. The concept of time cannot be allowed to take any place. Is Oi by Allah Simchas. So by all other simchas, we have to come on to the fourth of when you, at the time that you're happy, be happy. It's a famous medrash. I think it's actually a gemara that a certain men asked Rabbi Akiva, I believe, that how come HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam, that created the world, if he knew he was going to have to destroy it at the time of the Mabul? Says a God then was sad that he created Adam and the world. So why did he bother? Let him start from after the Mabul. Why did he start from the beginning? So he said to him, I think it's Rabbi Kiva, said to him, when your son had a chasna, did you make him simcha? He said, yes. So he said, why? Don't you know he's going to die? So the apikara said, and the min said to him, no, b'shas chedva chedva, b'shas avelus avelus. There's a time to be happy and a time to mourn, each thing in its proper time. So he said the same thing, so Rabbi Akiva answered, the same thing is true about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are times when there's simcha and there are times when there's avelus. One is not a contradiction to another. That's the very nature of this world, that it goes from simcha to avelus to simcha to avelus. That's the way the world works. So by every other yontif, we know after yontif we're going to have to come back down again. Right? Yontif is over. I have to go back to the drudgery of daily work. While men face doch as the chedva is noren zman, because we know that all the yom tovim are moadim uzmanim, the yom tovim which are this world yomim tovim, and that's why the Medrash, which you mentioned last week, says, Kol Amoados Asidim Lizbatel, all Yom Tovim will be negated in the world to come except for Purim. Right? But Purim is over Purim. When es spielt mit Netzach, when we play with eternity. In other words, Purim stretches into the world to come. Purim is the Yom Tov which is, still exists in the world to come. And Purim brings in that world to come into this world. It hooks into the Netzach Yisroel, which transcends this world. One cannot give time any credence or any place. Is thus little as height is Purim Morgan is ice. Therefore, a song which speaks about today being Purim and tomorrow it's out. Aktona in Simchas Purim, it diminishes the Simcha Purim. So very, very, very powerful Vortra Futter says here. In other words, I would add here a little bit as well, that besides the Neshama transcending time, the very nature of HaKadosh Baruch Hu is that he transcends time. And therefore, when we want to cling to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, then we want ourselves to transcend time. So that is the pshat in Purim. Not zrizus betam tachtum. Zrizus betam tachtum is just to do things quickly because the chosen one's more involved in them. No, that's when we say zrizus betam elyon, that means we do it in a way which we want to diminish our connection with time. We want to transcend this world in order to become more spiritual, to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu who transcends time. So that's what it's getting back to the Maharal. What is the Maharal saying? Maharal is saying that the Nes HaPurim had to be done with great Zrizus. Well, one interpretation of that is that you had to push the world Nes into Olam HaZeh, like he says here. But another interpretation is, why was the Nes done with such a haste and such Zrizus? Precisely because of the very nature of this miracle. There's a miracle which transcends Olam HaZeh, which transcends time, and stretches into the world to come. It brings in the world to come into this world. Why is that so? As we mentioned last week, because part of the great pleasure of the world to come is that in retrospect, we'll be able to see how Olam HaZeh was such a beautiful plan, such a beautiful painting, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu painted. I think I mentioned this once before. It's also Rav Hunter says that if you stand up close to a painting, you can't make out the awe-inspiring artistry which is involved. All you see is little squiggles and jots and lines on the painting. You have to step back and take in the full picture in order to see how everything creates this tremendous work of art in all of its splendor with all of its nuances. So the same thing is true about Olam HaZeh. When you're in Olam HaZeh, you're up close to the painting. You can't see what the lines are doing. As a matter of fact, you're in the midst of the painting being painted. So there's no way you can see how everything fits in together. It's only Olam Haba when we step back from the painting and we can see how everything came together in the finished product. So that's part of Olam Haba. Seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Teva is an Olam Haba phenomenon. To see that in this world is bringing Olam Haba into this world. No, if it's bringing Olam Haba into this world, that's why Purim is already a main Olam Haba. It's a bringing Olam Haba this world, that perspective, which the world to come will bring us, which bring to this world, and therefore transcends time. It certainly transcends the time of Olam HaZeh, and it's something which requires haste, as that Zrizus Batam Elyon, which signifies our desire to eliminate time on such a day. Olkos of Maharal, the Maharal writes further. Shem Maharal Tamachi writes another reason. Shekem Sheba Golus, since the miracle Purim occurred in the Golus, Hayotzarech Lios Bastard also had to be in Hester, in Messiahim, and he finishes, Kishnei HaTamim only become Echad. Both reasons are connected. Yesh Levar, Ina, we can explain this matter, Ki Perish Dvarav Haim, what he means to say is, Kemen Shoyaba Golus, since the Nes of Purim was in Golus, Hayotzarech Lios Nes Nistar, it had to be a hidden miracle. The Kemen Shoyaba Nes Nistar, and since it was a hidden miracle, Hayotzarech Lavo Mimakom El Yod, it had to come from the highest place, Vigavah. And the loftiest place, Upeirushohu, and the pshat is ki adua klal. It's known the principle shekidei bichtei sheyeh bicholus la'or lislabish apatocha hester, that light should be able to illuminate even in the greatest darkness. Liosahoso era kayim asoch hester, and that illumination should survive even in the concealment, tzricha ara lios mimakon gavad mod, the light has to come from indeed a very high place. So, here too, because otherwise when the light comes down into the darkness, it's going to be extinguished. So there too, here the light had to come also from a very high place. Now I want to explain that also a little bit more. What it means is like this. We have a mitzvah. You know what? Before I do, let's see another couple of Rav Hutners. Let's turn back. I'll bring them all together at the end. Now, these two Rav Hutners are not as serious. He was kind of lighthearted in these. Okay, at least in the first one, it's very lighthearted. And the second one also. Vav, let's do Vav. Vegan Esterin, concerning Esther, Retzich Alts, everybody speaks Vegan Irtznius, about her Tznius. Very modest. Ain't Esther, I get this. She wouldn't tell. Lo Yido Esther, she wouldn't say. Zokter Maral, the Maral says, Vail der Nes von Purim kumt von Amokom Nister. Because the Nes of Purim comes from a hidden place. Remember, we just saw that Maral. Und therefore is Dafka Esther, and therefore it's specifically Esther, Vos Midosa, whose attribute was Tznius, given a Kli, she was a tool, Fire the Geula for this Geula, Vos kumt Mimokom Mutza, which comes from a hidden place. Okay, now he says, the pshat fun der maral, the pshat and maral is b'derach mashal. We can say another mashal. Fun a mechaber, an author, falsat geshibin tzvei mamarim, who wrote two essays. Oif ein mamar, on one essay, hater untergeschrieben, he signed underneath sein Emerson nomen, his true name. Und oif at zveitin, on the second one, mit a pseudonym. Nice Yiddish word, right? It's obvious. As der Mimer mit Vemen erhot ungeschrieben, that essay which untergeschrieben with which he signed mit sein Emerson Nomen with his true name is sein Mokom Nigla. That's his revealed place. Und der Mimer, and the Mimer was erhot untergeschrieben, which he signed underneath mit sein Pen Nomen with his pen name, another good Yiddish word, is sein Mokom Nitzmutzla, is his hidden place. Hotshein lang gezogt, a long time ago there was said a chacham gadol, a very wise man, michachmei umos, from the goyim. As the word teva, the word nature, is a pen nomen for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, is a pen name for God. See, there's chachma even by the goyim. Heint today, vibalt as der ganze neis von Purim, since the entire neis of Purim is given out b'derech teva, it was all occurred in nature. This means their neis is gekumen mimakom nitz mutzna, that the neis, by its very nature, had to come from a hidden place. Now he says a little bit of a Purim dictator. Zok Rebitzeloi for Rebbe Yisraelin. Rebitzeloi Petterberger, one of Rebbe Yisrael's Talmidim, says about Rebbe Yisrael's Lanter, as in Alin Yonim is there given a moyer dikat nei aleches. And everything he did everything with tremendous tzniyus, tremendous yuhat modesty. Ba'alt in sein goyness, he hid his brilliance. Ba'alt in sein tzidkus, and he hid his tzidkus. Aber, however, ein zachoter nish gekent ba'alt in one thing he couldn't hide. Und das ist arponov, the illumination, the brilliance of his face. You know, the brilliant visage and countenance of a tzaddik. How can you hide that? It's like Moshe Rabbeinu. What did he have to do when he came down of Har Sinai? He had to put on a mask. There's nothing else to do. Undas is arponov. And that was the light of his face. Undas arponov, that was the light of his face. Aber heint Purim, but here on Purim, as Meret Kesedah von Dover and Mutzna, when we speak constantly about hiding things, Darfman dem arponim oichbaten, we got to find a way to hide the light of our face, the illumination of our face as well. Aber men ken doch nit, but we can't do it. So what do we do? The wisdom of a person illuminates his face. So how are you going to get rid of that illumination which comes from wisdom? Is there ain't a veg? The only way to get rid of that illumination is to also hide our wisdom. How to? Atlo yada. To get drunk, so maybe we don't have any wisdom anymore. All right, but that's a Purim Dikavort. He continues along the same lines. Kama mo geret, several times he spoke, as mit the mitzvah von Mechias Amalek, with the mitzvah of Mechias Amalek, zok di Torah edus, the Torah says testimony, oif the behaltena yiras shamayim, on the concealed yiras shamayim from yed eden, from every Jew. Varom, because, varom bivibal, this is because, as estate in the Chumash, it says in the Chumash, their time for Mechias Amalek, the reason why we have to be Mocha Amalek, we have to eradicate Amalek, while Erez Lo Yireh Elokim, he wasn't God fearing. He wasn't God fearing. This means, as ich meg im moichazain, I have to eradicate Amalek, while Erez Lo Yireh Elokim, because he wasn't God fearing, is doch mochach, and from this we must derive, as mit mir is men zicher, by me, who has a requirement to eradicate Amalek, we have to be sure, as ich bin yoy Yireh Elokim, that I am Yireh Elokim. In other words, if I have a mitzvah to eradicate Amalek, who's not Yireh Elokim, it must be that I am Yireh Elokim. Hi, I don't look like one. It's got to be somewhere within me. Otherwise, I wouldn't have a commandment. If I wasn't here, if Lahalolov Devarazar and Halolov Devarazar, we weren't Yireh Elokim and they weren't Yireh Elokim, so what good does it do to eradicate Amalek? I'm not sure what this word is. It says doch nicht kontig eufa mir azich bin. If it's not, probably it's oib or something like that, and if it's not apparent upon me that I am Yireh Elokim, is al korchach as es likdo anedus, it must be that by definition there's testimony in this mitzvah that there's a concealed Yerushalayim. How does this work? They're in it for them. The concept of this is as the greatest sides from Malchus, the greatest secrets of the kingdom, licked in them earth, are in that place, was Malchus halt die Keuches, where the kingdom holds the powers, from Natzeach Zayn dem Soine, to overcome its enemy. For instance, the Amerikaner Memshola, the American government, hat nishken gresser ort von Soides, has no place of greater secrets, or no greater place of secrets, wie der Pentagon. Besides the Pentagon. Their Pentagon is their ort. The Pentagon is the place, was von dorten, that from there, davon kommen die Keuches, have to come the powers, von Nitzochen, of victory, auf in Zoyne, over the enemy. Die größte Ginze am Melech von Malchus shel Olam, so to the greatest treasures of the king of the world, liegen dorten, lie there, wo man darf haben in Atzeach zu sein Amalek, where we have to achieve victory over Amalek. Und therefore, muss Mechias Amalek sein, the eradication of Amalek must be, an Edus, a testimony of mein Baalten Yerushalayim, of that secrets of Yerushalayim which we have within us. Mein Baalten Yerushalayim, my concealed Yerushalayim, is their Ginze Amalek, is the treasure trove, or the secrets of the king, von Malchus Olam, of the king of the world. Darf men take machen, and onstel, as the Efne Yerushalayim zol garnish sein kontak. So therefore, on Purim, we have to make a display or demonstrate that the open Yerushalayim, I'm not sure exactly how to translate this well, but we have to demonstrate that the Yerushalayim should not, the open Yerushalayim should not be apparent. Rather, what should we be left with? The concealed Yerushalayim. How do we do that? Through Adlo Yada. In other words, that's what we're left with, to conceal the Yerushalayim. So the, in these two vertlach, beyond the Purim Torah aspect of them, what Rav Putner was saying was very, very interesting. He says that the reason why Esther was the one through whom the miracle occurred is because Esther was very tzanua. And that was the yisoid of Purim. The tzniyos. Now, truth is that that's a unique thing which Jews are commanded over and over again, to be tzanua. Even when you go with God, you're supposed to do it quietly. By Matan Torah, Chazal tell us, the first luchos which were given in public and with great fanfare, they were broken. The second luchos which were given quietly, they were able to continue to, they were continued whole. And he says another word here. He says that the power which eradicates Amalek is the hidden Yerushalayim of a Jew. It's not that there's anything wrong with being a Yerushalayim on the outside, that's also good. But every Jew is not just Yirei Shamayim on the outside. There's also Yirei Shamayim on the inside. And those who don't have external Yirei Shamayim, there's something within every Jew, that spark which is there, which is the reason why they were given the mitzvah to eradicate Amalek and not vice versa. Because Amalek has nothing. Even if they do occasionally demonstrate external piety, famous words of Esav, right? Esav, what is he analogous to? A pig, right? Who has split hooves but doesn't chew his cud. Even if sometimes they even display outward piety, there really is nothing on the inside. And Koshkein, that where they don't display even that, there's nothing on the inside as well. But a Jew, no matter what, there's some Yirei Shamayim within a Jew. So that's what happened in the case of Achashverosh, right? It seemed like when they went to the Suda of Achashverosh, all the Jews, you know, they went to eat, drink, and make merry, that they were totally assimilated. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought through the Nes of Purim manifest the fact that every Jew has concealed Yirei Shamayim. So then on Purim, we also do the same thing, a similar idea. We bring out manifest that even if you peel away the external Yirei Shamayim, the inhibitions of a Jew, and you make him drunk, there's internal Yirei Shamayim inside. As we mentioned last week, oy vavoy, if a Jew taka doesn't have that internal Yirei Shamayim, he better not drink on Purim. But in any event, getting back to the first issue, of Atznei Elokecha Lechem Shem Elokecha, the entire Bria was created with this principle. God, as we mentioned last week with the Ramban, God doesn't want to do miracles if he can avoid it. Even when he does a miracle, he avoids doing the miracle as much as possible. The Kiddush Shem Shamayim of this world was that there should be a world where God is not apparent, and nonetheless, we come and we're Makai Shem Shamayim by overcoming the barriers. And there's a pasuk which we say every Rosh Chodesh, Barchi Nafshi Yis Hashem, Hashem Elokai Godal Tamaod, Hod v'hodar lavashta ote or kasalma. It's an amazing pasuk, and I don't want to talk about length of night because it takes a whole shiur just to describe that one pasuk. But in brief, the pasuk is saying, God puts on light like a garment. Very strange. What does a garment normally do? It hides, it covers. So what does it mean? Kosh Baruch Hu puts on light ote or kasalma. It's an oxymoron. There's no such thing. The pshat is, obviously, in that there is a lamp of concealment. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted there to be concealment, and that should be the illumination, that even though HaKadosh Baruch Hu conceals himself, and by the way, this is an interesting Zohar, I never saw anybody make this connection, but this Zohar, I don't know myself, I saw it in Rabbi Aryeh Kaplan's book. He says that the Zohar speaks about the butzina de kurdenaisa, the light of darkness. Now, I don't know Kabbalah very well, at all. But one thing I think we can understand is that it takes, you know, in this world, the default position is if the light is not on, it's dark, right? But HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the exact opposite is true. Where HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not to conceal himself, it would be completely light. So therefore, the artificial element, but so to speak, vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is for there to be darkness. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to create a lamp of darkness to conceal himself. By us, we need a light in order to banish the darkness. By HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs darkness in order to banish his light, so to speak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu created this light of darkness, which is this world. And that's the way he wanted things. And that's alluded to in Atznei Elokecha Lechem Shem Elokecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants everything to occur in the parameters of Tznius and of Teva. Those are two sides of the same coin. Within the parameters of quiet, constant nature, and that is the way we're supposed to find Kosh Baruch Hu. You know, it's a question which we've spoken about in the past, which is why Nevuah ceased. And the truth is, the last generation which had Nevuah is this generation of Mordechai and Esther. This is it. This is the end. Why didn't Nevuah stop? Many reasons. But why did Kosh Baruch Hu stop Nevuah at this point? Because every generation is only given why Nevuah stopped or why we don't have Nevuah anymore. But you'll see it's the same thing. Every generation only has that much Gilui as is necessary for it to find a Kosh Baruch Hu. No more. Kadosh Baruch Hu gives the minimum amount of revelation necessary. So in the earlier generations, more revelation was necessary because he needed the baseline empirical evidence and the baseline sanctity in Am Yisrael in order to achieve the critical mass of revelation necessary to sustain the nation. But after that was achieved, that's it. Kadosh Baruch Hu says, okay, now we're going to make it even more difficult. You have enough historical revelation. You have enough stored up sanctity in Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh, and you have enough of a path laid out for you in Halacha and in Machshava. From now on, no more Nevuah. It's more difficult now. And as the next generations go further and further along, it becomes more and more difficult. Because Baruch Hu conceals himself more and more. Because there has been enough revelation, and since there's been enough revelation, therefore, now the task is much more difficult. That's much more difficult. Let's see if you find God. If based on the revelations which you have, let's see if you can have Emunah. Do you understand what I'm saying? So Nevuah ceased at that point because it wasn't necessary to have any more Nevuah. And then now Emunah is based on the fact that we have the body of Torah Shebiksav, Torah Shebiksav, and Torah Shebaal Peh in front of us. And our Emunah comes on that alone because the test of this world is defined in the Teva with as little revelation as possible, just the minimum necessary for that generation, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, that happens to me, it's not that we're on a higher Madrega than they were. That's why we don't have Nevuah. The famous Moshe which was given is, we're a nanas al gabe anak, we're a midget on top of the shoulders of a giant. They were the giants. They had their own tests. Our test is, since we have all of this giant underneath us, let's see if we can be bright enough to look at that and find our moon as opposed to be led astray by all the tremendous degree of tumah which surrounds us. So, that was the Nes of Purim, and it came from the highest place, because the ultimate design of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know, Sof Maisa Machshava Tchila, the ultimate design of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was to have a world which was as dark as possible. And that was obviously the first thought, to have people who are going to be in a tremendous, total and complete, practically complete darkness, and nonetheless find HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That was obviously the destiny, the plan in creating the world. That was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. And that's why this Nes comes from the highest destiny and highest plan and highest place in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's master plan. And the truth is that that's what the Maharal is saying, that the Nes had to happen b'derech Hatzneah, because the plan was that everything occurred b'derech Hatzneah. And it came from the highest place, because only the highest place is what allows HaKadosh Baruch Hu to be present in this world, in the Teva. That is the secret with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. So let's go back to what he says. Let's go back to the Ur Gedolah. He goes on to say that since this Nes came from a very high place, it created a very great inspiration on Yisrael. And they got up to a very high Madrega. Now, but it doesn't just come like this. You know, you can't just say, you know what, I want to get to a very high Madrega. It's not easy. What they had to do is, if you take a look at the next paragraph, Ibn Shaya, he says in the fourth line, Ukmo Shama Chidush Arim, like the Chidush Arim that said, Lefarish Masha Kosuv, that he explained that which it says, Nikolu Vamod Al Nafshom, they got together and they stood on them, they stood for their souls. He says, it doesn't say Nikolu Vamod Bavur Nafshom, for their souls, but rather Al Nafshom. Lemalo Mibchinas Nafshom, they got out higher than their previous Madrega. They went up Madregas. How did they get to that? Vigil Madregova, they reached a very high Madrega. Lagia L'shor Shazeh, to reach such a to source, Efsharakai de Achlu Shoklaiso. Can only do it by the unity of all of Am Yisrael. By the Kihila. By coming together. L'chein Matzinu, therefore we find, Ki Adivrei Tzomuz HaKosam, that the fast and the cries, Haya B'Koyel, was with them all together. They lay Knosis Kol Yehudim by going and gathering all the Jews together. Via the Achdus Higila Sharshim Lamala. And through this Achdus, they reached their source in heaven, their highest source. That's like Matan Torah. What happened by Matan Torah? Famous Pasuk. Via Vayichan Yisrael neged Ahar. Vayichan means singular. Rashi says, famous Rashi, Ish echad b'lev echad, like one man with one heart. That was also was necessary for the Yeshua Purim. Just like that Achdus by Matan Torah was a prelude to Matan Torah, here to this Achdus was an Achdus which came to bring them to another Matan Torah. It says in Shabbos, Daf Peches, famous Gemara, Hadar kiblu b'yimei Achashverosh. At the time of Achashverosh, they accepted the Torah again. They got to such a high madrega, they became so close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that they were able to re-accept the Torah with greater love of Hashem. And this madrega, says the Reb Gedalia in the next paragraph, he says, a very beautiful word, he says that this madrega is madrega of Eitz HaChaim. This is cleaving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to the source of life, in a way which transcends the Eitz HaDas Tovara. In other words, what's the Eitz HaDas Tovara? What happened when Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz HaDas Tovara? He became ashamed of himself. That's not good sneers. That was bad sneers. He became ashamed because he saw something evil. He saw a separation between himself and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We know Chazal tells, one of the things Chazal tells is that Ein achet po ela behesach hadas. Sins only come when one forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what happened now. He saw within himself, they saw within themselves, Adam and Chava, a place, a spiritual place within themselves, which manifests themselves in the realization of their sensual physical selves as being separate from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the Eitz HaDas Tovara, that there's a separation from Hashem. And it's not just that HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked him Amina Eitz by coincidence. No. This question of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was directly correlated to the sin of Adam Rishon. We know Hashem Tzilcha, Hashem's relationship with us, reflects our relationship with Hashem. If they ate from the Eitz HaDas Tovara, which was rebelling against Hashem, and they brought themselves to a situation where now they had a spiritual force within themselves, which was one which was separate and rebelled against Hashem, the power of Ra, of evil, of being drawn after the sensual and physical. Then Hashem reacts with them in kind. And Hashem reacts and says, well, you think you're separate from me? I'll act as if you're separate from me. Hamino eats. Did you eat from the tree? Do you see that? That reaction on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's part was an equal and opposite reaction to what they did. You draw away from Hashem, Hashem draws away from you. You make yourself sin, Hashem gives you a further nisayon. Avera, gereres avera. You did one avera, the test for another avera comes very quickly afterwards. That's where Haman came along. Haman said, it's part of this question of Aminites, that maybe one can overcome, outwit, and get around the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Bnei Yisrael, when they came together, this Achdus, and they came to this very high Madrega of finding HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this common prayer and striving to Hashem, they overcame that Eitz HaDas Tovara. Obviously not completely. The Gula didn't come. But they came to a very high Madrega, the Madrega of the Eitz HaChaim. It's a very interesting thing. Haman made a tree which was 50 Yamas high. What do you think? 50 Yamas is just a coincidence. 50 Yamas signifies perfection, right? We say Moshe Rabbeinu only attained 49 gates of wisdom, not 50 gates of wisdom. That would have been perfection. Haman is saying it's possible to create an alternate system to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There are 50 gates of wisdom in HaKadosh Baruch Hu system. I'm creating a rebellious, separate system, almost like the Migdal Bavel, a system of 50, of 50 Sharim, of 50 gates of my own, 50 gates of Tumah. Haman was hung on that. This Eitz HaDas, this Eitz of Das Tovara, this Eitz which gave a place to evil, became an Eitz HaChaim. We showed that the evil is also subordinate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And this tree, which was a tree which is intended to display the rebellion, became a tree which demonstrated that there is no rebellion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rules everything. How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu rule everything? Through everything comes, even if it looks like Ra. Even it looks like evil has power, ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls it. That became an Eitz HaChaim. Yeah, they were given a level of 50. A new Madrega of Chamishim Shari Bina. They were given now the Madrega of Hadar Kiblu Mimei HaShverosh. And we know that this is the beginning of a transition period. This is the beginning of a transition period between Torah Shebiksav and Torah Shebaal Peh. Mordechai wrote the last book in the Torah, in Tanakh, but he was one of the first members of the Sanhedrin, Anshei Knesset HaGedola. The two things went together. This was a period of renewed commitment to Torah by the vehicle of Torah Shebaal Peh. And I want to get back. I skipped something before, which I want to mention, which is that... before I get to that. The Sfas Emes, in the next paragraph, brings down the Sfas Emes, namely Chidush Arim, that's the pshat in the mitzvah of Ad Lo Yoda. What does the Ad Lo Yoda mean? The Yoda means the Etzadas Tov Ra, that one knows good and evil. The Ad Lo Yoda is transcending that and getting into the essential chiyus, the essential life force of a Jew, which is Ad Lo Yoda, which transcends the Etzadas Tov Ra and is completely committed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the Bahaltener Yiras Shamayim. That life force within a Jew, whether it's apparent or not apparent, is the unique quality of a Jew which eradicates Amalek. That ultimately at the core, even if it doesn't seem that way on the surface, everything is connected to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now, the truth is that Purim represents that in a very, very direct way. Purim means what? Means Pur. Goro. Right? Hipil Pur Hura Goro. We see a very interesting thing in davening every day. Say, Shreinu Matov Chalkeinu Manoim Goro Leinu. How pleasant is our lot. Now that seems to be an oxymoron again. A lot is mashma, something which happens by luck of the draw, by chance. How can we describe our destiny as being a goro, as being something which happened by chance? The answer is that even things which seem to happen by chance are not chance. Haman thought his goro was the ultimate expression of Asher Korcha Baderech. What does Asher Korcha Baderech mean? It means literally that he happened upon you along the way. It means the power of coincidence. That there are mikrim in this world. Haman said, Kadosh Baruch Hu is Haminayit, he asks questions, God's rule is not complete. One can get around it. That's the power of coincidence. There are things which are not controlled by God, they're coincidences which happen. Asher Korcha. You can have a coincidence that you'll overcome the Jews. And a gero, a lot, also. We can hook into that coincidence and overcome the Jews through that power of a lot, which is the ultimate, a lottery, which is the ultimate expression of chance, of complete coincidence. The pshat is by Jews, there is no coincidence. That which looks like a gero, that which looks like a poor, is really gorolenu, is really our destiny. There is that which looks like a girl on the one hand is a lottery, is really chalkeinu and girlenu, our destiny, and our Kodesh Baruch, and our Kodesh Baruch Hu coming and manipulating things for our benefit and our pleasantness, our pleasure in the way, which of course is behind the scenes, but where Kodesh Baruch Hu planned it. There's one more thing I wanted to say tonight, but I don't think I can get to it. Actually, there are two more things. If you turn the page, I'll end with this, and I'll say the next thing next week. If you turn the page, you see that he says in the last paragraph, "Liyomi Magdoyel Ma'elu," is on page 2, the last thing from the Org's Ayo. "Liyomi Magdoyel, for these great days, Tzuchim Lasos Achon HaGdoyel, you have to make a great preparation." Now, for Purim, Hadarki Blu B'Yimei HaShveirush, to accept the Torah, to stretch into the world to come, right, the eternity of Am Yisrael, and to come to see how everything comes to Kodesh Baruch Hu, you need a lot of preparation. Vigra Achon, the primary preparation, of course, by like we do tonight, who B'Koyach HaTorah, is by learning the Torah about it. Kikra Koyach Neged HaMolik, the primary force against HaMolik, who HaTorah. Why? Because Torah shows there's a Torah about everything in the world, about how to tie your shoelaces, there's a Torah, about how to go to the bathroom, there's a Torah. Everything is subordinate to Kodesh Baruch Hu. Kimosh Matzidu B'Shabrifin Yadayim B'Torah Bo'HaMolik. Like we see that when one is merapa yadayim, one weakens one's grip on Torah, Amalek came. That's why they came in refidim. Sherof yadayim Torah, their hands loosened their grip on Torah. Came atzinu, so do we found, ideis askus b'Torah doich Amalek. By dealing in Torah, one pushes away Amalek. V'chem atzinu, so do we found, kibuchol deris in all generations, haisa milchama neged Amalek, idei chachmei Torah. It wasn't the army which fought Amalek necessarily, the wise men of Torah fought Amalek. Idei Yoshua, by Yoshua, he was the foundation of the oral law, say for Yoshua, not for tonight, how that worked. Vayde Mordechai, through Mordechai, share Rosh Hashanah. V'lachena, I did rakay de lima Torah, only by learning Torah, and specifically in our case, the Torah Purim, bli rifion, without letting go, yichon lasus achon liyom Purim, you can make a preparation for Purim. Now, it's true, I have to concede to you, Rav Gdai Yisrael had a vested interest in saying this, because of course it's said in the yeshiva. Of course, Purim time is the time when this man begins to wind down. So he wanted to make sure it didn't happen. But besides that, it's also true. Rechain Ravur Vesvarim, and so too it says in the Svarim, Kilachain Ksiv, Laihudi Maisa, Ora Belashan Akeva. It says the Torah, the Jews had light. Why does it say in the feminine sense, not Hoysa Ora, but Ora? Lerami Zar Torsh Ba Peh. To allude to the fact that Torsh Ba Peh, where I'm a Kabi Torsh Miksav, which receives some Torsh Miksav, that is the primary focus after Purim. Purim was the shift from Torsh Miksav to Torsh Ba Peh. Vechain Yisab Shem Tzadikim, and this is what I wanted to show you. It says the name of Tzadikim, before Shavuos, Yesha Shloshes Me'agbol, the 3 days of preparation. Shema Achana L'Shavuos L'Matan Torah, the preparation for Shavuos and Matan Torah. Kenitan Sholosh Yom V'Shachana L'Purim. The 3 days of preparation for Purim. The truth is, Esther told them to fast 3 days. But besides that, the earliest day you can read Megillah, Api Alacha, is Yud Aleph, 3 days before Purim. That's the Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel. Shekshem Shekshayim l'kriyas Megillah, which are already suitable for reading Megillah. V'lachin tzrichim lis amek ma'od b'torah b'yomim ma'elu. One has to deepen one's involvement in Torah in these days. Levato adimir shamolik, to try and negate that imagination of Amolik that they can overcome. HaKadosh Baruch Hu chas v'shalom. U'chazik emunah pshuta, and strengthen one's simple fundamental belief. Bashkocha pratis and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's divine manipulation and control. And all Yidei Torah, can we be zoicha this, and we should be zoicha this in order to bring through the Purim the ultimate geula of the Netzach Yisrael. All right, there was another point I tried to get tonight, but as I said, I'll leave it for next week.